There was an older man who lived on his own. He was a guy who loved to garden. His neighbors would walk by and see him out in his yard frequently. He'd be out taking care of the flowers and all the other plants, and his yard was immaculate, best in the neighborhood. He was no longer married. His wife had passed away, and his kids, of course, had grown and gone on their own. His neighborhood was great, and after many years of living in this same neighborhood, this man recognized that he had two types of neighbors, though to be sure, everyone in his neighborhood was very, very kind. The first type of neighbor, well, these were the folks that would see him out gardening and they'd wave or say a hello. There wasn't much of an interaction beyond just that wave or that simple word. And again, they were very nice. Every once in a while, this man would try to, you know, spark up a conversation. Once the neighbor would say hello as they're out for their walk, he'd, you know, just see if they'd dwell a little longer. But these neighbors, boy, they just seemed like they had so many other places to go, and it seemed like they were very pressed for time. And the man thought that he also had a second type of neighbor. Well, these were the neighbors that would drop by and play a game of chess. These were the neighbors who would drop by and talk for a good while and share a beverage together. And when these neighbors came over, the stories that they told from the last time they visited just continued into the time that they were talking right there in the present. It's like there was no time that separated the conversation, just picked right up from where it left off. And these neighbors, they also invited this man over to Sunday night dinners every so often. Over all the years of interaction, this man, he really felt like he knew these neighbors. He knew their stories. He also felt like they knew his stories. They knew who he was. Well, this man was getting close to his 70th birthday, and his kids asked him what he wanted. The first thing he said was, "Well, I want you to come home. And I also want you to meet these neighbors of mine. I want you to hear their stories. I want them to meet you, because I've shared a lot of stories about you with them. I want you to feel how neat it is to feel so known and to feel like you know others like this. So come home. Let's make a party of it." The kids thought this was a great idea. And so they said to their father, "Let's do this. We'll make the invitations. We'll send the invitations. We'll take care of all the details, the meal, everything. But Dad, just help us out with one thing. You got to send us a list of the neighbors who are your friends that you want to invite over to this party." Which neighbors do you think the man invited? Jesus traveled through towns and villages. He was headed toward Jerusalem. And as he traveled, he would pause every once in a while and share a story, a little bit of wisdom. Things like, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that you plant in the ground and you give it just a little time. After a while, that seed, that small seed, it grows into a tree and all kinds of birds come and make a nest in it. The kingdom of God is like just a little bit of yeast that you put in a bunch of flour. That little bit of yeast rises, and all of that flour becomes loaf after loaf after loaf of bread, feeding countless people." The stories that Jesus shared as he journeyed toward Jerusalem, boy, these were stories of grace and the availability of God's kingdom for all people, no matter their story. And so on his journey, someone asked Jesus, "Lord, are there going to be a lot of people who are invited to salvation. Jesus gives an answer that surprises us. I mean, after hearing so many stories of grace and the free availability of God's kingdom to all people, this time Jesus says, strive. Strive to enter through the narrow door. He's saying to the one who asks, don't worry about how many are going to be saved. Don't speculate about things like that. Instead, engage. Hear the message of good news. Engage with it. Be moved by the Spirit of God to participate. Be in a relationship with the one who speaks the good news. Yes, a relationship that is active, an active kind of knowing and interaction, a participation in life with Jesus. Don't just settle for knowing about him. Strive. As Jesus spoke to the man, not only did he say strive, he said strive to enter through the narrow door. This doesn't mean get your act together so that you fit through the narrow opening. No, it means strive to live life with Jesus as one who is already accepted, already loved, already forgiven. Strive, stay alert to that reality of how much the Lord loves you. And after all, pay attention. Not only is this message a message of grace and love, it is a message of being shaped to live a true life. Jesus is teaching as he travels how to live truth. Pay attention. Strive. Engage with the message. For we know that without paying attention, it's easy to drift into a weak and depleted faith. Without paying attention, we can drift into a thoughtless betrayal, and we could lose this responsive, interactive, even conversational life with Jesus and even with one another. Therefore, Jesus says, strive. Pay attention. Engage the message. Indeed, enter through the narrow door, whereby we are formed by grace, formed by the way of Jesus, a way that is always grace alone. And this grace will fill hearts, and those hearts will be awakened. They'll be affected, changed by this message, by this word, and they will find themselves participating, engaging, wrestling through the life of following Christ, a life lived by faith. And the words that they speak, even the words will have a shift that happens. Instead of just speaking about, well, just about Jesus, now the words will shift. The words that these transformed hearts will speak will be words about a life with Christ, words of journey. Now, as the man who asked Jesus this question, as Jesus was traveling, as this man was listening, he also heard that Jesus mentioned a closed door. Not only was the door narrow, but then it would close. Jesus is patient and loving, but there will also come a moment when the opportunity to interact with Jesus, to participate in the kingdom of God, that moment will close. Jesus is patient and he's loving, but this calling, it's also urgent. Will the Spirit of God stir our hearts to faith? Will we engage with Jesus, the person? Or will we just observe from a distance, from a comfortable status quo? Jesus spoke directly that day, and his words continue to stir our hearts all these years later. Our hearts may be stirred with the question, will my heart be affected by the message, by the word? Will my heart stir by the Spirit of God? Will it grow towards a participation, a conversation with Jesus? Or will I just observe? Stand back and watch, maybe every so often share a few words about Jesus, but not really engage. Jesus said these very strong words as he was journeying toward Jerusalem. He knew that when he got to Jerusalem, a cross would be waiting for him there. And he knew that he would die on that cross, pinned beneath the weight of all of the sin that the world had to offer. Despised, rejected, betrayed, he would die. And yet, in so dying, Jesus would defeat death, rising 3 days later. And it's in that victory that Jesus resumes his work of gathering people toward himself, a people whose hearts are turned, stirred by grace, hearts that are stirring with a desire for mercy and justice according to what Jesus taught and lived. And these hearts will, in small ways or large, be filled with a participation in life with Jesus, a life that will have no end. Indeed, the first who think they've got it made because they know about Jesus will be the last. And the so-called last who have struggled in this life of faith, yet who know and share life with Jesus, well, these will be the first. So, dear children of God, the Spirit is at work. Your hearts are being filled with the message. So engage. The Spirit will guide you. Engage. Respond, interact, for you are loved, you are cherished, you are always forgiven, always accepted by our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now may the peace that Jesus brings into this world fill your hearts and your minds and keep you strong in the faith now and evermore. Amen.